Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Charles. This is number 0369, the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. And it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0369. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, you'll meet Oregon farmer Lainey Morse, who offers goat yoga on her farm.
It's a great idea. Goats and yoga totally mix. So we scheduled a date, and it was such a hit that I have people in Italy and London emailing me wanting to be put on a wait list, or, you know, if they're coming into from California to go on vacation, they want to make sure they do goat yoga. It's been absolutely more than I ever would have dreamed.
Comedy writer David Feldman, host of The David Feldman Radio Show.
I have mostly comedy writers on the show, and authors and journalists. It's a left-wing program. It's a radio show that we do out of KPFK in Los Angeles. We tackle serious issues. We're tasteless. We're profane. We're offensive. We'll do anything for a laugh, within reason. And I think I have, as guests, some of the funniest people in America and the world.
Edward Meyer from Ripley's Believe It or Not with their latest book, Ripley's Believe It or Not, Unlock the Weird.
10 chapters, 256 pages, roughly 1,000 stories. And I used to always say 500 photos. Somebody caught me out last year that there was only 492. Well, there's only 469 this year. But basically, a couple photos on every single page. It's a coffee table style book for all ages. It's one of those things that you put down somewhere, people are going to pick it up, and they're going to find something that interests them, because every page is different.
And we have lots and lots and lots of stuff, and of course, an idiot of the day. The guest later. The person who told you this was show number 0369 was music consultant Patrick Henry Charles. I just love people with three names, don't you? Yeah. Patrick Henry Charles. Thank you very much, Patrick, for doing the guest late on this edition of the Stuff File program. By the way, you can follow Patrick on Twitter at GetPatrick. There you go. Get Patrick. Follow him on Twitter. Follow him. Just go do it right now while I'm talking. This is a program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get right to the stuff, shall we? Well, authorities in California said an amateur fisherman cast his homemade line in the wrong place when he was caught fishing for drugs in a police drop box. The Santa Barbara Sheriff's Office said a sergeant confronted a man spotted using a homemade cord and a fishing hook to remove drugs from the Operation Medicine Cabinet drop-off box in front of the sheriff's coastal station in Carpinteria. 46-year-old Christian Coolby had successfully reeled in some drugs and syringes when he was caught fishing in the drop box, one of several set up by the Sheriff's Office and the Santa Barbara County Public Works to allow residents to safely dispose of unused drugs and medication. Coolby was taken to the Santa Barbara County Jail on charges including possession of stolen property, petty theft, possession of burglary tools, prowling, and possession of controlled substances. Prowling? He was ordered held in lieu of $2,500 in bail. Yeah, they were really biting today, but so were the cops. And police in Florida said they arrested a woman who was caught on camera setting fire to a car she mistakenly thought belonged to her ex-boyfriend. The Clearwater Police Department said 19-year-old Carmen Chambly was identified by members of the public from a surveillance video showing the woman fanning the flames she allegedly sparked in the trunk of a white car before fleeing. Police said Chambly was arrested by a Pinellas County Sheriff's Office deputy. Investigators said Chambly admitted to torching the vehicle and told police she thought the car belonged to her ex-boyfriend. Police said Chambly was mistaken about the identity of the vehicle's owner. Chambly was arrested on a charge of second-degree arson. Okay, how much is her ex-boyfriend laughing right now about this, do you think? Also, he's probably in the process of changing his car. Meanwhile, pro baseball player Brandon Thomas of the Independent Frontier League's Gateway Grizzlies in St. Louis, Missouri, hit a bases-loaded home run on August 21st over the fence into the adjacent parking lot where the ball smashed the windshield of his own car. Oh, the agony and the ecstasy. Yes. According to the FBI, a man accused of robbing a Kansas City bank and immediately surrendering to a security guard told investigators he preferred jail to life with his wife. 70-year-old Lawrence John Ripple allegedly walked into the Bank of Labor in Kansas City and handed a teller a note reading, "I have a gun, give me money." Court documents state Ripple took the money and sat down in the lobby of the bank until he was approached by a security guard. "I'm the guy you're looking for," he allegedly told the guard. Police responded quickly to the bank, which is on the same block as the city's police headquarters, and Ripple was arrested. Ripple allegedly told investigators he had been arguing with his wife of 33 years and no longer wanted to be in that situation. The FBI affidavit in support of a robbery charge against Ripple states the suspect wrote out his demand note in front of his wife and told her he'd rather be in jail than at home. Ripple's wife said he had become angry when she reminded him that the clothes dryer needed to be repaired. Wow, that's what set him off? I suppose it's a lot of little things leading up to that, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, Ripple, who was charged with robbery and aggravated robbery, might have to wait to get his wish for jail over home life because he was released on bond. Ouch. Oh, to be a fly on the wall when John showed up at home after his release. You gotta know there had to be a frost warning in effect in that place, huh? Yeah. But seriously, how hideous is your home life if you would prefer jail than being around your betrothed? Yeah. Anyway, we have time for one more story here in this section of the Stuff File News before we get to our first guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. The Transportation Security Administration said officers arrested a man whose carry-on bags were found by an X-ray machine to contain a gun and his pet dog. Yes, the TSA said the man placed two carry-on bags on the X-ray belt at Baltimore-Washington International Thurgood Marshall Airport, and agents immediately spotted a handgun in the first item, a bag with wheels. The second bag, which resembled a duffel bag, was revealed to contain a small dog. It's difficult to say which of the two was more surprising, the X-ray image of the gun or the image of the dog's moving skeleton, the TSA said. The gun, a 9mm packed with two empty magazines, was seized by authorities and the man was arrested by Maryland Transportation Authority police, who discovered the suspect was also carrying a small knife. The man was arrested on weapons charges. What, no cruelty to pets charges? Anyway, how much is that doggy in the duffel bag? You know, the one with the waggly skeleton? Yeah, I love that song. Let's get to our first guest on the Stuff File program, shall we? Recently, I found an article in Modern Farmer magazine, because, you know, we search high and low for material on this show, folks. Anyway, they talked about something new called goat yoga. It's what it sounds like. You get to do yoga with goats. This takes place at Lainey Morse's farm in Oregon, and she happens to be on the line with us right now. Hi, Lainey.
Hi.
Thanks for being on the program with us. So how did goat yoga get started?
Well, I auctioned off a kid's birthday party for a charity function, and all the kids are playing, and the parents are standing out in the field with the goats, and One of the moms was a yoga instructor, and she says, you know, I should have a yoga class here. And I was like, yes, that is a great idea. Goats and yoga totally mix. And so we scheduled a date, and it was such a hit that I have people in Italy and London emailing me wanting to be put on a wait list, or, you know, if they're coming into from California to go on vacation, they want to make sure they do goat yoga. So it's been absolutely more than I ever would have dreamed of.
Now, you're saying you're getting these emails coming from all over the place. To your knowledge, are you the only place in the world where goat yoga takes place?
As far as I know, when you Google it, there is an instructor who does yoga with her baby goat. But as far as I know, anything that's set up like mine is, I think it's the first. It has to be with all this attention.
Now, give us a visual for all this. First of all, the goats you have there, I believe, Nigerian dwarf and pygmy goats. So what is the size of a full-size goat at your farm?
The full-size goats are around 35 to 40 pounds. I do have one full-size boar goat who is going to be in someone's freezer, so now he lives at my house. But he's a super sweet guy. You know, people are doing yoga in the field, and the goats just kind of wander between them, sit on their mats, you know, kind of hoping to be pet. Sometimes they climb on top of them. It's really funny, and it's really relaxing. It's just a really unique experience.
Okay, so I must confess, I'm a complete city guy, so you're going to have to walk me through this a little bit. The idea of the fact that goats sometimes do what goats do, how does that work out in a yoga situation when you're on your mat?
Well, it makes for some laughter, that's for sure. You know, this is a farm. These are farm animals. You know, things are going to happen. And if you're coming to goat yoga with any reservations of getting maybe dirty, you probably shouldn't come. But actually, last time, that didn't happen. There was no goat pellets on any mats whatsoever, and everyone was on their best behavior, so it was nice. I even had four chickens and a barn cat out here checking things out.
Wow. Okay, so how large was the first class? How has it grown? And how often are these classes?
The first class was about 30 people, and I had to cap it. I don't have a very big driveway. Otherwise, I probably could have had 100 or more. I'm not sure. The next two classes that I have are all booked already, and so I have a massive waiting list of probably a few hundred people. I think I need to probably have some goat yoga retreats in my future.
And how often do these classes take place?
Well, you know, this was kind of just an experiment. We weren't prepared for this to go over this well, and so I only have two classes that are booked. I have one this Saturday and one the 24th, and I'm in Oregon, so then, you know, the rainy season comes, and it's kind of impossible to do anything outside like that. So I am looking for a covered area to hold the practices in. Hopefully I can find that to meet the demand for goat yoga.
And how many goats do you have, by the way?
I only have six. Probably more in my future to accommodate.
Is anybody else, like I said, you're the only person to your knowledge that does this in the world, but now that the word is getting out, is there anybody else who is attempting to horn into your business in any way, shape, or form?
Well, I would actually love that. I think it should be everywhere, and I've seen lots of, I'm on a forum that has just thousands of goat owners on there, and everyone was saying, hey, we should start this at our farm, and so maybe the word will get out, and it'll spread, and it'll help people because, man, it really makes people happy to be out here with them.
Well, not only that, I mean, on a more serious note, it's a situation in this day and age where, let's be honest, farming isn't as lucrative a situation as it used to be, and I'm sure this could be offsetting to the operation of the farm in addition to being therapeutic for those who take the class.
Absolutely. You know, farming is hard, and so that's a great new revenue stream for some of these folks who, you know, as long as they have really friendly goats, that's kind of a must. they could pull these off.
Now, how do you how do you determine that you have a friendly goat? And by that, I mean, you know, you again, I'm a city kid, so you have to explain this to me. You have these goats. There is a moment, I'm sure, where one could be unfriendly, but I guess it might be possible to find that out just a little too late.
Well, I think it's how they're raised. You know, goats like to headbutt. And so I've never allowed people to play with them like that because that's their, you know, their instinct to play like that. And so all my goats just play with each other. And they just basically want to be in your lap. They think you're a lap for them. everyone that's come over, I do something called Goat Happy Hour. And it's become quite popular in my town. People come over and, you know, they just sit around and they could have had a bad day or depressed, and when they leave, they're happy, and that's why I call it Goat Happy Hour. I've probably had 200 plus people come through here in the past year, and it's 100% people leave happy. So that's a pretty good success rate, and I hope that goats can be used as therapy animals in my future and a lot of people's future.
Wow, I didn't know that goats could be that therapeutic. But then again, I said I'm a city kid, so I'm learning here. I understand you're also a freelance photographer?
Yes.
What kinds of work do you do?
I used to do specialize in newborn and family portraits, but last year I was diagnosed with a chronic illness and I wasn't able to get out there and do that anymore. And so I just decided, well, I'm just going to come home every day and spend time with the goats in the field. And honestly, it kind of helped me from just becoming a really depressed, sad person. It's hard to be that way when you're around them. They're just funny. And it really helped me. So I think it can help other people, too.
Now, you mentioned people are getting in contact with you from literally all around the world. What is the best way people can find out more information about goat yoga? I know that you have a website, which is your name, laneymorse.com. Is that the best way to get in contact with you, or are there others?
Yeah, there is. I have noregretsfarm.com, but they can go on my Facebook page, Your Daily Goat, and that's where I'm going to have updates. I'm working on a website now, so they can send any inquiries to Laney@yourdailygoat.com.
Laney@yourdailygoat.com. I love that one. And again, the Facebook page you said is Your Daily Goat, right?
Yes, Your Daily Goat. And I'll be posting updates on there about future classes. If people send me an email, I can go ahead and add them to my list of when I'll be having more classes. But I hope I can really provide the services. There's a lot of people.
We've talked about the idea about it being therapeutic for people who take goat yoga. Do you know or can you tell if it's therapeutic for the goat?
Well, the goats just want people around. Right now I'm actually out in the field with the goats, but if I walked away, they would all follow me, and if I went in the house, they'd not be happy. So they just, when I had the first goat yoga class, everyone came up there, out here, and set up their mats, and the goats immediately came out here and just, like, would sit down on their mat, or they just want love and attention, and a really unique experience.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating way to get Zen. Again, it's Goat Yoga. And Lainey, I thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Yeah, thanks for calling me.
Lainey Morse, the owner of the Oregon Farm where you can do goat yoga. Again, you can check out her Facebook page at facebook.com/yourdailygoat. You can also go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for the show, which is show number 0369, and you'll find links to both her website and her Facebook page.
You're listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Kelly Alexander Show is your place to be for everything to do with health, lifestyle, and entertainment. Join us as we chat with celebrities like Emmy winner Mia Michaels from So You Think You Can Dance, best-selling recording artist Taylor Dane, and world-renowned astronaut Julie Payette. We also cover important topics like breast cancer awareness and how to help your child through bullying. All this and more, please join us, www.kellyalexandershow.com.
It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Capture your need for sound.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Have you ever noticed on some of those public broadcasting pledge drives, they tend to sound like ransom demands in a kidnapping?
Hey, your kids like this, Mr. Rogers. It would be most unfortune if, for some unforeseen reason, you weren't in the neighborhood no more.
Well, I'm here to ask for your support in a non-threatening, non-obligatory kind of way. Part of the success of the Stuff File depends on the generosity of its listeners worldwide. So if you can, and if you want, please feel free to make a small one-time donation. Just go to the website at thestufffile.com and click on the PayPal donation button. You can donate $10, $5, or even $1, whatever you'd like.
You know that big bird? That would be one huge drumstick, if you know what I mean.
If you have a PayPal account, it's an easy transfer. And if you don't, all major credit cards are accepted. Your generosity would be much appreciated in keeping this show running.
About that antique roadshow, they might be seeing a little more concrete than they originally anticipated.
No strong-arm tactics, no ransom demands. Just a simple please and thank you. To donate, visit thestufffile.com.
You're listening to the Stuff File program. It's the choice of 4 out of 5 dentists. The 5th dentist also listens, but that's just because he follows the crowd. Here's Peter Anthony Holder.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk to David Feldman. He's a comedy writer, and he's also the host of The David Feldman Show. More on that in a bit. Plus, Edward Meyer is back on the program. He's the VP of Exhibits and Archives at Ripley's Believe It or Not. They have their new book out, which is entitled Ripley's Believe It or Not, Unlock the Weird. He'll be on a little later on. We also have an Idiot of the Day coming your way and lots more Stuff File news right here, right now. On a program also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Well, note to burglars, don't fall asleep outside of the place you just burglarized with your vehicle full of loot. A pair of 17-year-olds in the Central California community of Winton were arrested and released to the custody of their parents after passing out in a haze of marijuana smoke outside of a construction site, their blue SUV packed with copper wires and other items from the property. The youths also had a loaded gun, which investigators determined had been stolen back in March, according to Jason Goyens, who is undersheriff for the Merced County Sheriff's Department. They were spotted in their car by a sheriff's deputy shortly after midnight. There was a strong odor of marijuana coming from the vehicle, Goyne said. They were passed out and he had to wake them up. The youths, whom Goyens said were gang members, were arrested on suspicion of participating in a criminal street gang, possession stolen property, and having a loaded firearm in the vehicle. We've run across it before, people who are intoxicated or high on drugs passed out at the scene, Goyens said. It's not common, but it does happen. Okay, they must be losing gang points and street cred for falling asleep at the crime scene, then released into the custody of their mommies. Ooh, tough guys. You know, I could have made them Idiot of the Day, but I have one strong rule when it comes to Idiot of the Day. if you're stupid, it can't be because you're under the influence of something. Although this week's idiot of the day is quite similar to this story, but I'm really getting ahead of myself. Much on that later, okay? In July, 30-year-old Joshua Jacobs accidentally knocked down a traffic sign at 12:45 a.m. in Vero Beach, Florida, and, spotting a sheriff's deputy, sped away. The deputy gave chase, especially, he said, given that the fully grown marijuana plant resting in the bed of the pickup was kind of a dead giveaway what was going on. Jacobs was arrested. You know, never mind hitting a traffic sign. If you're planning to haul a fully grown marijuana plant around in the bed of your pickup, perhaps you need to get a pickup bed cab. You know, one that kind of conceals stuff. Just a thought. That's all I'm saying. Okay. An Oklahoma woman married two of her biological children over the course of 8 years. Police arrested Patricia Ann Spann and her daughter, Misty Velvet Dawn Spann, for incest. She couldn't be charged for naming her children as well? Well, the two had gotten married in Comanche County, Oklahoma, earlier this year. 43-year-old Patricia Spann lost custody of Misty, who was 25, and two other children when they were young. Patricia Spann told investigators she didn't have contact with her kids until 2 years ago, but when she reunited with Misty, she said they hit it off. Court records show an annulment between Patricia Spann and her son in 2010. The two had been married since 2008. Patricia Spann told officials she thought the marriage was okay because her name wasn't on her daughter's birth certificate, according to an affidavit. Wow. How thick can you be? In Oklahoma, marrying a close relative is considered incest, whether the relationship is sexual or not, and incest is a felony punishable up to 10 years in prison. Yeah. Kind of makes you wonder what she did years ago to lose custody and all contact with her kids in the first place, huh? There is a family tree with root rot in it. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, when a police officer went to Richard Shepard in Hartsell, Alabama, to tell him his wife had hired an undercover officer to kill him, Shepard agreed to help fake photos of his death to convince his wife, Sarah, who was 27, that the deed was done. Then, of course, Sarah was arrested and held on $500,000 bail. Richard petitioned for a protection order for himself and his young children, who he considered to be, quote, in extreme danger, unquote, due to the charges and Sarah's history of abuse. Now, even after her arrest, Sarah was even more adamant with friends that she wanted her husband dead. Dead, 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 dead. But months later, Richard worked with Sarah's attorney to get her bail reduced so that she could get out of jail. He told Morgan County Circuit Judge Glenn Thompson that, quote, there isn't any way Sarah could have plotted to kill him because she can, quote, hardly put together a weekly grocery list, unquote. Well, those could be famous last words, Ricky. Because you do know that there's a big difference between grocery list and hit list, right? Although, both could involve a messy cleanup in aisle 3. Anyway, let's get to our next guest here on the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, shall we? David Feldman is a comedian, comedy writer, and podcaster who hosts a program aptly named The David Feldman Show. It can be heard by subscribing to iTunes and Stitcher, and David joins us on the line via Skype from New York. Hi, David.
Hi, Peter. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on the program with us. I just recently discovered your show, and I'm now going through the back catalog and enjoying it a lot. But the reason why I discovered it is because I heard the interview you did with Tony Hinchcliffe talking about being a comedy writer on the recent Rob Lowe roast, which was a very funny roast, except for maybe 4 or 5 minutes. in which it was death warmed over. And that, of course, is when Ann Coulter got up and did her routine. And in hearing some of the interviews you do on the show, I wanted to talk to you about comedy from a comics point of view. Because now we live in what is probably one of the most politically correct times of our lives. Is it more difficult to be a comic now?
Is it more difficult to be? I think it's, well, let me say that comedy has been saved by the politically correct movement, because once you had HBO and Showtime, where comics can say the F word and have total freedom, we lost a taboo. And without a taboo, you can't have comedy. You need somebody. You need certain ideological gatekeepers to clutch their pearls and say, oh my, this is wrong. So now that we can all say the F word, well, we need people to make sure we can't say the N word. So the politically correct movement is necessary for comedy. It's absolutely necessary. Otherwise, we don't have any puzzle to solve as comedians. You need people saying, no, 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 you can't do that. You cannot talk that way. That's what makes us funny.
But, you know, the problem nowadays is not so much language, it's content. Everything nowadays seems to be a trigger for somebody. And you have,
right.
You know, you hear comics who say they don't go to college campuses anymore because there's too much problem. And, of course, nowadays with everyone having a cell phone, anything that's said is suddenly put up online to be judged by everyone else who was not in the room.
Yeah, well, I don't think comedians should be playing college campuses in the first place. College is expensive enough as it is. As somebody who is putting his children through college, it's very expensive. Unless they're going to hear Noam Chomsky speak, I don't need my sons and daughters spending their time at college going to see Chris Rock or Jerry Seinfeld, two of the greatest comics who have ever done it. I am a huge fan of Jerry Seinfeld's and Chris Rock. But they have complained about not being able to play college campuses. I don't think any comic should be playing a college campus. If you're in college, you should be listening to Bernie Sanders or, an author. What the hell are musicians, rock musicians and comedians doing on college campuses? That's not why you go to college.
Okay, fair point. I want to get back to what I started off talking.
By the way, I just want, but let me just say.
Yes.
I think Jerry Seinfeld and Chris Rock are fantastic.
Absolutely.
But you can watch them on HBO. You don't need to be going to college to hear Jerry Seinfeld and Chris Rock. That's not what college is for. So they don't belong on a college campus.
Okay. Now, as I said earlier, I heard you talking to Tony Hinchcliffe, who was a writer on the Comedy Central roast of Rob Lowe just a little while ago. Did you watch that roast, first of all?
I wrote on it.
You wrote on it?
Yes.
Oh, dear. Okay. So were you in the room at the time?
No, I was going, I was not, I was in the middle of a, shall we say, a lawsuit at the time, so I couldn't show up.
I heard you talking about that when you were discussing when you were chatting with Adam Ferrara. People can listen to your show and find out exactly what we're talking about there.
Yeah.
How does it usually work? Because I know you've written on roast before. I didn't know you had written on this one. But how exactly does it work? Comics or writers are paired with the panel, and there's a give and take, and they supply jokes for that particular panelist to use in the roast? Is that how it normally works?
Yeah, and they bring in their own writers. I mean, there's guys like me are brought in to, you know, write jokes that get thrown into the pool, and then the different roasters can pick from them, and it's a, we're just trying to make them all look good. That the purpose is, you know, here are all these jokes. You got some of the best joke writers in Hollywood writing for that show, and me. The best joke writers and David Feldman. I don't put myself in the same category as these guys. They're very talented. But we want everybody to look good. That's the purpose. Everybody, we want everybody to look as funny and good-natured as possible.
And again, going back to the whole PC thing, is it problematic when doing something like a roast? The whole idea of the roast is to skewer somebody on the set. Is it problematic when people start saying, oh, gee, I think they went too far? Can you ever really go too far? Are there boundaries?
I think if there's a free market of ideas, which there are not in the United States, but in a perfect world, there's a free market of ideas. And if you go too far, people have a right to be offended. They have a right to then take appropriate action. During the 50s, we had the right wing refusing to sponsor television shows and radio shows that were believed to be run or starring communists, the Blacklist. That was fraudulent. It was based on lies and fear and almost sanctioned by the government. So that wasn't a free market of ideas. Whereas now you have liberals banning Rush Limbaugh from the radio. You know, you have liberals getting together and saying, don't advertise on the Rush Limbaugh show or other right-wing crackpots and liars and charlatans. And that's rooted in fact. You can actually present to a sponsor evidence that Rush Limbaugh is a racist. And if there is a free market of ideas like that, then it'll root out what's offensive and what's not. And you can test the waters. And if the free market of ideas says you've gone too far, then you're off the air. So what I'm saying basically is during the 50s, when people were blacklisted and sponsors pulled their commercials from TV and radio shows, that was not the free market of ideas. That was based on, you know, bad information. These people weren't communists. It was government sanctioned. It was wrong. When liberals, and I happen to be a progressive liberal, when we band together and say, do not sponsor Rush Limbaugh because he's a racist, you can present tangible, absolute proof that Rush Limbaugh is a racist. Here's a tape. Here's him saying this. If you sponsor Rush Limbaugh, we will not buy your product. That's the free market of ideas. So, and that tells you whether or not you've gone too far.
Hmm. I know you've got a show to do, and I'm taking up some of your time, but so I will ask you this last question, and that is, because I could talk to you all day, as I could listen to your show all day as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
For those who have never heard your show, and like I said, I'm relatively new to it myself, how would you describe the David Feldman show and the kind of guests that you have?
I'm a comedy writer, and I have mostly comedy writers on the show, and authors and journalists. It's a left-wing program. It's a radio show that we do out of KPFK in Los Angeles, and we tackle serious issues. We're tasteless, we're profane, we're offensive. We'll do anything for a laugh within reason, and I think I have as guests some of the funniest people in America and the world. So, and I'm honored to be on your show.
Well, thank you.
I'd love to do this again when I have more time.
Well, we'd love to have you back. And in the meantime, I'll let you go because I know how busy you are. David, thank you very, very much for taking the time to be on the program with us.
Great. Thank you, Peter. I really appreciate it.
Comedian and writer David Feldman, host of The David Feldman Show. It can be heard by subscribing to iTunes and Stitcher. You can also visit his website at davidfeldmanshow.com. And you can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for the show, which is show number 0369, and you'll find the links to his site. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
I'm Bob DiRigo Jones, and this is Let's Be Fair. If you've ever asked a child what their favorite part of the school day is, chances are they've replied, recess. There's nothing wrong with that either. In fact, there's a lot of learning and growing that takes place on the playground. The games and other things going on there are not only fun, they build confidence and help children become comfortable with taking risks. Articles in the New York Times and Washington Post have revealed that risk-taking on the playground is very important to child development. Unfortunately, they also reveal that children have lost some of the best opportunities for conquering their fears because things like monkey bars and toss slides are vanishing from playgrounds. Why? Because courts have allowed so many lawsuits over common injuries, schools believe it's better to just remove things that many of us grew up with. Let's be fair, many experts now believe that today's safer playgrounds can actually stunt development and leave children with anxieties that are worse than a broken bone. It's time to fix this problem and demand better from the courts that helped create this situation in the first place. Learn more. Visit our website at centerforamericatv.org.
Hi, this is Wynonna Judd, and you probably don't think of me as a person with an eating disorder, but here's my truth. Eating disorders are real, and they are not just about losing weight. Eating disorders are the way you feel about your body and the way you treat yourself. For years, I have been a compulsive overeater, and it wasn't until its effects threatened my health, my family, and my career that I finally reached out for help. Recovering from an eating disorder is possible, and I'm living proof. But you have to take the first step, so I urge you to visit nationaleatingdisorders.org.
This is your safe haven from the hard news of the day. The Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. It's radio for your happy place.
And still to come on the program, we'll talk about the latest book from the fine folks of Ripley's Believe It or Not. Plus, we do indeed have an idiot of the day coming your way here on a program that's also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. But I've got one more Stuff File news story to share with you right here, right now, before we get to our next guest. Okay? Police in Dayton, Ohio were dispatched to a report of a man pulling his pants down and swinging on a stop sign. By the time officers arrived, he was no longer at the stop sign, but a witness said he had tried to have sex with the front grill of a parked van. Michael Henson was charged with public indecency and jailed. Okay. From some of the pictures I've seen that I could cull from this particular story, it looked like it was a GMC van, a red GMC van. Now, if you've ever put your fingers inside a grill, like, you know, when you're trying to open the hood or something like that, you know that the inside isn't necessarily as smooth as the outside. That's not generally where I would be interested in, you know, having friction on a delicate part of my body. That's all I'm saying there. That's all I'm saying. That's weird, believe it or not. Which is an interesting segue to our last guest on the program, isn't it? Let's just get to it. Like clockwork, the folks at Ripley's Believe It or Not have unleashed and released their latest book. This one is called Ripley's Believe It or Not, Unlock the Weird. And back to talk about this latest edition is Edward Meyer, the VP of Exhibits and Archives from Ripley's Believe It or Not. He joins us on the line from Florida. Hi, Edward.
Well, hi, Peter, and thank you again for having us on. This is, in fact, our 13th annual long-running series. Few changes this year, but basically still the same sort of visual format. 10 chapters, 256 pages, roughly 1,000 stories. And I used to always say 500 photos. Somebody caught me out last year that there was only 492. Well, there's only 469 this year. But, you know, basically a couple photos on every single page. It's a coffee table style book for all ages. It's one of those things that you put down somewhere, people are going to pick it up, and they're going to find something that interests them because every page is different.
That's assuming they're not afraid to pick it up, because like the last few books you've put out, there are eyes staring at you when you look at the book. It's kind of creepy.
Well, this one is even creepier then, I guess. The title, as I said, is Unlock the Weird. It has a what I would call a fluorescent green cover. You know, some people might call it swamp green. But it's actually got three eyeballs, and this is called lenticular photography. It appears to move. It's not just 3D, but it appears to move as you move the cover. And I'm not even sure how we came upon it in the first time, but this has become our iconic figure for our annuals, that somewhere on the cover there's going to be an eyeball. And this year it's three of them. And I got to tell you, I think that the trick, if I can call it that, is better than normal here. These ones really do seem to follow you.
Now, you've been doing...
No trouble finding it in the bookstore. Look for the book that stares back at you.
Exactly. Now, you've been doing this for years, Edward, so I'm just curious to know, is there anything anymore that surprises or shocks you?
Well, I'd have to say yes. It does get harder. I'm in my 39th year with Ripley's, and we've been I've been involved in our books since the early 80s. And you know, we print almost 1,000 stories in this particular book every year, and that probably means we see maybe 10,000 to choose from. And you know, it does get tougher to see stuff that you've never seen before. But we're in a evolving world, that what was amazing, 10 years ago may be commonplace now, but there's always something to take its place that, you haven't seen before.
Like, for instance, there's a story in this one that talks about a man who attempted to climb the Swiss Alps on all fours as a goat.
Well, I got to tell you, you've picked one that isn't one of my favorites. This guy, in my mind, is what I'd call, certifiably crazy. Weird story. He's got these artificial legs strapped to him so that he's climbing around the mountains on all fours, somewhat disguised as a goat so that he can get up close to the ones that are there. And, I just don't understand why. Okay, but I don't have to. That's the kind of thing that makes Ripley's unbelievable, that somebody out there is going to do something that the rest of us wouldn't even consider.
Okay, so how do you even come across...
His name, by the way, Thomas Thwaites. He lives in England, but it took place in the Swiss Alps. It's page 28, 29 of the photo, and... of the book, and there's three photos, and one of them has them actually leading this herd of goats, and they're all looking at him like, what's going on here? Even the goats think he's crazy.
Now, how do you even find people like this?
Well, I don't know the background on this particular story, but a great deal of it finds us. We've been in business 98 years. We're the longest running newspaper feature in the world. And chances are, if you've got something weird or you're doing something weird, we might be the very first people you think of. So, we have a team of researchers, myself included, that are constantly looking. But I'm willing to say the very best finds us as opposed to us finding them. A guy like this wants his 15 minutes of fame. Knows that we produce a book every year and sends us the photos and says, hey, is this weird enough? And, that's how the majority gets in the book.
Okay, so you say you're not crazy about Goat Guy. Then if you're not crazy about him, how do you feel about the guy who actually had his ears removed?
Well, you got another one that's pretty out there, I guess is a good word. I affectionately call him Birdman. He's trying to look like a parrot. He's had several body modifications, the most extreme, as you say, having his ears cut off. And, body modification has been part of Ripley's a long time, certainly before me. But every year it seems to get more extreme. And this guy is out there for sure. And one of our other books this year, he's going to be on the cover of it. I'm not sure he knows that. And retired shoe factory worker. So this isn't just a young kid. Name is Ted Richards, Bristol, England. It's page 112 and 113 of our book. And he's got horns. He's got multiple piercings. His face is basically... tattooed like a parrot, green and red coloring, and just no ears. It's I don't even know if you notice the ears so much, though. The face is so all kinds of things going on, that the ears are probably the most least noticeable, you read the caption, and then it becomes the most shocking, because that really is extreme. 6-hour operation, and, you know, again, for the life of me, I'm not sure why. 110 tattoos, 50 piercings, and he's even split his tongue.
You say, for the life of you, you don't even know why. For the life of me, I don't know how he finds a doctor to go along with doing this.
Well, that's another thing, isn't it? You know, I guess I don't even know if I have a comment for that, because, again, I've seen so many extreme body modifications that is one of the first things that should hit you, is like, you know, the doctor should say no. But I guess we live in a society where, you know, people don't say no. If you're willing to pay for it, somebody will do it.
By the way, it's just interesting that I named two people off the top, and both of them, as you say, are from England.
Yes. Now, I, you know, it's funny. I've got a little book beside my desk here, a cheat sheet, that I keep count of the different states, but I don't keep count of the countries. But I think if you were to do that, we probably have the most stories come from China, maybe India, a close second. But the British have long been an eccentric bunch, if I can say that, you know, Ripley's has a great affection for them because they're always willing to do something that the rest of us might just shake our head and go, but why?
Absolutely. Now, as you said earlier, people come in contact with you because you guys have been around for so long and everyone knows what you do. And as life goes on, things do get weirder and weirder. Do you ever worry about, you know, people doing things just to get into a Ripley's book?
Well, I don't think I worry about that, Peter. You know, again, I would say that was extreme, but we definitely have our fans. There's a gentleman over in India that will do just about anything to get into Ripley's and or the Guinness Book of Records. But, you know, I think most people don't do it to get into Ripley's, but realize once they've done it, whatever it is, you know, Ripley's will be able to give them more notoriety. And, you know, we do get people asking us how to get in, but not too many. It's much more, I've done this, is this worthy of Ripley's, believe it or not? And then it's up to our editorial staff to, you know, do a bit of research, figure out if somebody else has done the same sort of thing before, if it really is unique, and then, you know, a value judgment. Yeah, this is pretty strange. Let's put it in the book.
You know, we're just about out of time, so I don't know if I have the time to ask you about sheep dung spitting. I think maybe we'll just leave that out there and let people go to the book.
Well, you know, I guess it's Scotland and not England proper, but, you know, maybe those UK guys are really getting crazy. This is a you know, a fairground ritual sport. Little pellets of sheep dung being spit like watermelon seeds, which is what we do here in the South. But again, you've picked three pretty extreme samples from the book, Unlock the Weird, available in stores, and I think it's truly got some things for everyone. It's a great book that everyone's going to enjoy.
Absolutely. It's always great fun having you on the program. You know, I think this, not only should everyone buy this book, because they're just great, but I'd like to see them left in doctors' offices, waiting rooms, just so that we can have a hidden camera to watch people looking at these things while they wait for their appointment.
Well, I don't think that, you know, maybe my favorite picture in the whole book, you know, what I would say is the weirdest story of all, is on page 88, 89, and repeat photo on 100, 101, guy with a tumor on the side of his head as big as a basketball, and it's all about the operation, so it's a nice ending story. But if I was in the doctor's office and I saw those pictures, I think I'd run screaming.
Mm-hmm. Again, Edward, these are always great, great books. The latest one is called Ripley's Believe It or Not, Unlock the Weird. I thank you once again for being on the program.
Well, thank you for having us.
Edward Meyer from Ripley's Believe It or Not. The latest book is Ripley's Believe It or Not, Unlock the Weird. You can go to my website at thestufffile.com, go to the What's On page for the show, which is show number 0369, and you'll find links to Ripley's website, plus links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order the book directly. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder. Time now for the Idiot of the Day.
And now it's time for the Strange Things Adults Do. The Stuff File presents the Idiot of the Day.
Police in Kentucky say a man who broke into several vehicles at a Harrodsburg business was found sleeping inside one of the cars with a mask still over his face. Multiple news outlets report that police say 35-year-old Matthew Stewart of Louisville faces theft, criminal mischief, and criminal trespassing charges in connection with the incident. Police were called to CC Auto Parts and Service after employees found a lockbox containing keys that had been pried open and several vehicles broken into. Responding officers discovered Stewart asleep in the driver's seat of the vehicle. Police say he was still wearing the mask along with black gloves. Now, why? Oh, why? In the middle of a crime, would you decide, and this is without being on the benefit of any kind of drug, that this is a good moment for you to take a nap? Well, one reason, and one reason only, you're an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program number 0369. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0369. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as P.A. Holder, and don't forget to check out the Stuff File store, where you can purchase a plethora of Stuff File merchandise, from t-shirts to mugs to tote bags to mouse pads. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, GDPR Revolution 99, KDXRadio.com, AirChecker, Canada's number one radio source, PCJ Radio International and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded on iTunes, streaming on Stitcher, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's it. Bye-bye.
Been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. Void where prohibited, offer slightly different in Canada. For a complete transcript of this program, next time write down everything Peter says.